Everyone's talking about climate change, right? But today, let's zero in on a country taking some serious action, the UK. We're doing a deep dive into their green energy revolution, and let me tell you, the stuff you sent over. It's impressive.
It's exciting stuff.
Okay, so UK, green energy, most people probably picturing wind farms, right? Coastline, windy island.
Absolutely. Wind power is huge over there, especially those giant offshore wind farms.
But it's not just windmills, is it?
Nope, not at all. They're playing it smart, going for a good mix. Solar's in the picture, hydropower too. They even use biomass.
Biomass. What's that like, burning wood chips for electricity?
Well, it can involve organic matter like that. But the key is they're making use of what they've got. Island nation, strong winds, long coastline. Got to take advantage, right?
Turning those geographical quirks into green energy gold.
Exactly. And it's making a difference. One of the reports you shared, it highlighted how much they've slashed their reliance on coal, those wind farms. Serious carbon emission reducers.
So they're not just dipping their toes in the green energy pool, they're doing laps.
Right. They've even set that ambitious goal, net zero emissions by 2050.
Yeah, that net zero thing. It's everywhere. But honestly, what's it actually mean?
So basically, you want to cut down your greenhouse gases as much as humanly possible, right? And then whatever's left over, you balance it out by removing that same amount from the atmosphere. Like a seesaw, you release a ton of carbon dioxide, you capture and store a ton.
A carbon balancing act. Makes sense. But is that even doable? I mean, your research mentioned some hurdles they'll have to clear.
It's definitely a challenge, not going to lie. This means a complete transformation, not just in how they make energy, but everything. Think energy efficiency, land use, the works.
Not just slapping up a few more solar panels then.
Exactly. And that leads us to a biggie they're wrestling with. Getting those renewable sources to play nice with the existing power grid.
Yeah, because the grid wasn't built for sunshine and breezes, was it?
Old school grid meets new school energy. It's a huge task, making it all work together smoothly. One of the things your research mentioned was the UK investing big time in what they call smart grid tech.
Smart grid? Sounds futuristic.
It is. Imagine a power network that can handle the ups and downs of wind and solar, keeping everything balanced. Your research mentioned this Superlink project, a massive undersea cable connecting wind power from Scotland to England's grid. That's the kind of thing they're doing.
Okay, that's seriously cool. They're putting some serious money behind this, not just talking a big game. But let's be real, these huge shifts, there's got to be some bumps in the road.
Oh, definitely. Your reports were upfront about that. Cost is a big one, obviously. Going green doesn't come cheap. That initial investment can be daunting.
So how are they swinging that? Is the government footing the entire bill?
This is where that contracts for difference scheme comes in, the one from your research. It's really quite clever. The government steps in and guarantees renewable energy companies a minimum price for their electricity. So if they build a wind farm or a solar plant, they know they've got this safety net.
So it takes some of the risk out of going green, which encourages more investment.
Precisely. And here's the kicker. If the market price for electricity goes above that guaranteed price, those energy producers, they pay some back. Helps keep things affordable for the everyday consumer.
Wow. Talk about a win-win. They've really thought this through. It's not just about going green. It's about making it work for everyone long term.
Exactly. And it's not just about the here and now. It's about the future. Your research highlighted how much they're pouring into research and development of new green energy technologies.
So looking beyond even wind and solar.
Absolutely. They're leading the charge on offshore wind tech, looking at things like wave power, tidal power, even new ways to store energy so they can bank that green power for when they need it.
It's honestly inspiring to see them so gung-ho about this, not just for their own backyard, but really pushing the limits of what's possible.
And that's what's so fascinating about the UK's journey. They're kind of creating a roadmap here, showing the world how a large-scale green energy transition can be done. But then it makes you wonder, can this model be picked up and plunked down anywhere else? Because countries have different resources, different landscapes, different setups. What works in the UK might not fly in, say, a landlocked country with less wind.
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to this stuff. But seeing a country tackle this head-on with this level of commitment, it gives me hope. It's a huge, complicated issue, but they're showing it can be done.
Exactly. And it'll be fascinating to see what innovations come out of it, both in the UK and around the world. This is just the beginning.
It really feels like it, doesn't it? Like we're watching history unfold in real time. Well, on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive, folks. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the UK's green energy revolution. It's a story of ambition, innovation, and a commitment to a brighter future. And who knows, maybe it'll inspire some action closer to home.